Now tonight, I want you to turn with me to the second book of Kings. The second book of Kings. And the second chapter. And it came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And Elijah said unto Elisha, Tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, and I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. And the sons of the prophets which were at Bethel came forth to Elisha, and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he said, Yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. And Elijah said unto him, Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Jericho. And he said, As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho. And the sons of the prophets which were at Jericho came to Elisha, and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he answered, Yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. And Elijah said unto him, Tarry, I pray thee here, for the Lord hath sent me to Jordan. And he said, As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And they too went on. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went, and stood to view afar off, and they too stood by Jordan. And Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither, so that they too went over on dry ground. And it came to pass when they were gone over, that Elijah said unto Elisha, Ask what I shall do for thee, before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, Thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it, and cried, My father, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. He took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and smote the waters, and said, Where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he also had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. And when the sons of the prophets which were to view at Jericho saw him, they said, The spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elisha. And they came to meet him, and bowed themselves to the ground before him. And they said unto him, Behold now, there be with thy servants 50 strong men. Let them go, we pray thee, and seek thy master. Lest peradventure the Spirit of the Lord hath taken him up, and cast him upon some mountain or into some valley. And he said, Ye shall not send. And when they urged him till he was ashamed, he said, Send. They sent therefore 50 men. And they sought 3 days, but found him not. And when they came again to him, for he tarried at Jerusalem, he said unto them, Did I not say unto you, Go not. And God will bless to us that portion from his own word. There are some passages in the Old Testament scriptures that become quite obvious as we are reading them, and they just seem to fall into place, ready for our understanding and our meditation. And as I pointed out last evening, if we can get some connection in the New Testament in relation to Old Testament character, it is as well that we take advantage of what the Spirit of God says in the New Testament. And we do know that Elijah and Elisha are linked together because we've been reading about them both just now. And there are two others that are closely linked in the New Testament, and they're John the Baptist and the Lord Jesus Christ. As Elijah was the precursor of Elisha, so Elijah was the forerunner of Elisha. Now, the disciples came to the Lord Jesus on one occasion, and they said to him, "Why do the people say that Elijah must come first?" And the Lord Jesus answered them, and he said, "Elijah verily did come first, and they have done unto him whatsoever they listed." Then they understood that he spake to them concerning John the Baptist. So that here John the Baptist is linked with Elijah. Now, brethren and sisters, There is no evidence in the scriptures of a so-called doctrine that there is the transmigration of a soul. Elijah is not John the Baptist. Elijah was taken up into heaven by a whirlwind, and John the Baptist is the fruit of Zachariah and Elizabeth, his mother, and he was a distinct personality from Elijah. And so the angel Gabriel makes it quite clear when he's speaking to Zachariah, the father of John the Baptist, and he says to him concerning John, "He shall come in the spirit and the power of Elijah." And so there's a similarity between Elijah and John the Baptist. They were coming in the same spirit and in the same power, but they were two distinct individuals. So we do not believe in the transmigration of a soul that one peculiar religion in Christendom would dare to suggest. Now, if then John the Baptist is clearly presented to us as the Elijah of the Old Testament, then we can take it for granted that Elisha is the type of the one that follows John the Baptist, the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, Elisha's name means Jehovah the Savior. So we can look at Elijah and Elisha, and we can see typified and pictured John the Baptist and the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Now, I think that is quite enough evidence to go to Elisha and look for some pictures of the Lord Jesus Christ in him. Now, Elijah was the man that had to abase mountains. He had to exalt valleys. He had to make rough places clay. And he had to prepare a way for Elisha. Now that is just what John the Baptist had to do. And I tell you, brother and sister, it cost Elijah so much, and it would have cost him his life if that wicked queen had have had her way. And it certainly cost John the Baptist his life when he would make the rough places plain for the Lord Jesus. Now here's a lovely picture, for they're walking together in complete harmony. There's no argument, there's no contradiction, there's no reluctance on either part. They're walking in perfect harmony, the one with the other. Now the law and the prophets were until John, and then there comes the one of whom the law and the prophets spake. So that here we find law and grace walking in perfect harmony, brethren. Now, there are no discrepancies between the Old and the New Testament scriptures. Let's get that clear, shall we? The God of the Old Testament is the God of the New Testament. The requirements of God in the Old Testament in righteousness are the requirements of God in righteousness in the New Testament. It's the same God. It's the same thought. And we discovered that the Old Testament and the New Testament can walk together in complete and perfect harmony. But here let's get this thought as well. If Elisha is the picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, then the Lord Jesus Christ is walking in perfect harmony with the law and the prophets. There's no disagreement, no discrepancy. The Lord Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of the law and the prophets. He magnified the law and he made it honorable. And there was never a step out of place as the Lord Jesus walked before men. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And brother and sister, I think we've got to take this into consideration as well. The Lord Jesus did not fulfill the law according to men's interpretation. You remember he said on one occasion, ye say, but I say unto you. And in the one he's giving the human interpretation of the law, but in the other he's giving the divine interpretation of the law. And the divine interpretation of the law is far more exacting than what any man could ever think that it meant. And so it's to the jot and the tittle that the Lord Jesus kept the law. He kept it perfectly. I think you'll agree with me, my brother student, that the law could not be taken away until it was fulfilled. Right? God wasn't going to take an unfulfilled law away. No, no. It had to be completely fulfilled. And the Lord Jesus fulfilled it. And he had the right to take away the first and establish the second. And so here as we see Elijah and Elisha walking together in perfect harmony, we can see the Lord Jesus walking in perfect harmony with the law and with the prophets. You know, brethren, we think we know a lot about the old book, don't we? We think we know a lot about Old Testament prophecy in relation to the Lord Jesus Christ. But I tell you this, brothers, we'll keep on discovering truth out of the Old Testament in relation to the Lord Jesus as long as we're here. But as far as he was concerned, he knew when it was fulfilled. Now that's the difference. And it brings out a point in relation to his deity, brother and sister. And the Spirit of God is bringing before us the mind of the Lord Jesus as he hung upon Calvary's cross. And it says this, Jesus knowing that all things were now accomplished. I like that point. And there was one person that could run the whole range of scripture and know that every one of them had been fulfilled in himself, so that he was able to bow his head and give up the ghost. I tell you this, brothers and sisters, if there was one that wasn't unfilled, that scripture will remain unfilled for all eternity to come. But it's fulfilled. Now notice, they're walking together. We can't go along the way, can we, right away to Jericho? But please, brethren, they both come to Jordan. Both come to Jordan. Now, Jordan, of course, is the picture of death. But please, brother, it's more than the picture of death, isn't it? Dan, after all, is judgment, isn't it? It's death by judgment. So here they're coming to Jordan. Now, listen. One is going over Jordan because he's got to go. The other one is going over Jordan because he wants to go. And brother and sister, when we come to the place Golgotha, which is Jordan, which is death by judgment, we'll find that the law is going because it's got to go. But we'll find the Lord Jesus is going because he wants to go. No man taketh my life from me. I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. And so here is one going because he's got to go. His ministry and his work is accomplished. And the other is going because he wants to go. He'll fulfill the law right to the utmost. Brother and sister, when we turn to Luke chapter 10, that poor man, he gets a lot of ragging, doesn't he? He gets a lot of stones thrown at him. That priest that looked on the man as he lay upon Jericho's road and passed by on the other side, he daren't do anything else. He daren't do anything else. He's the picture of the law. The law. And the law doesn't show mercy. The law shows the unalterable, unswervable, unbendable righteousness of God. And there he sees the sinner in its need, but passes straight on. There's nothing that can make the law turn upon one side. But I tell you this, brother, if that man lying up on Jericho's road could have just looked over and saw the priest, then he would have condemned him more than he ever felt before. He'd have said, that's what I ought to be, but this is what I am. And that's all that the law was given for. To show sin up in all its heinousness and in all its evil before God, but it was never given to save. And so the law keeps straight on, and that priest couldn't turn. But brother and sister, the law turned at Golgotha. Remember Romans chapter 3? But now the righteousness of God apart from the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. And there the law and the prophets is turning aside to Jordan, and they're going to see a great work done that will complete all that the law and the prophets really mean. Isn't that Matthew chapter 17, brother? Isn't it now? There he is upon the Mount of Transfiguration. And here these two men come, Moses and Elijah. They have a right to be there, and they have a right to talk about what they're talking about. The exodus that he should accomplish at Jerusalem. Moses, here's a broken law. Calvary. Elijah, here is unfulfilled prophecy. Calvary. And the Lord Jesus is going out to Calvary. And there at Calvary, he's witnessed by the law and by the prophets, and he's fulfilled them both. He's going, but in doing so, he's fulfilled the prophets, and he's taken away the law. That's the picture. And so we see Elijah. He's taking his garment and he wraps it together. Will you notice that? He wraps it together. Its full extent isn't realized and seen. It's a mantle that is wrapped together, and he smites the waters, and the waters part hither and thither, and they both of them pass over on dry land to the other side. That's it. But there's only one coming back. There's only one coming back. And Elijah says to Elisha now, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. Let a double portion of thy spirit fall upon me. Thou hast asked a hard thing. Now, brother and sister, I'm quite sure you've numbered all the miracles that Elijah did now. If you haven't, you should do. Because he performed 8. And if you count up the number of miracles that Elisha performed, you'll discover there are 16. So if you'd like to work it from that point, there's a double portion of the Spirit. But I think there's a lovely application just here. When we're in the realm of the law, we're only in the realm of the earth. We're only in the realm of the flesh. For the law has no power over a man when he's dead. Only so long as he's alive. That's Romans chapter 7, isn't it? And so the law can only prevail as long as a man is alive, but when death comes in, his power is gone. So the power of the law is seen in the earthly scene. And brother and sister, let me say this. I hear some Christians say it. I suppose it's all right when they say it out in the world. They like to throw the brickbats at God, don't they? It's the sop to their own conscience. They've said it to me many a time. You call him a God of love. A God of love. And he says an eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth, and a light for a light. When you say that's the God of love, I tell you this, brother and sister, if God hadn't have exercised his power there, it wouldn't have been an eye for an eye, it would have been two. And it wouldn't have been a tooth for a tooth, it would have been a mouthful. And it wouldn't have been a life for a life, it would have been a family. And here the power of God under the law is restraining flesh. For that's his business. For what I could not do. That's it. The good that I would, I do not. And the evil that I would not, that I do. O wretched man that I am. That's law, isn't it? And here we find the law using its power, but it's only this side of life, and he smites the waters, and they part hither and thither, and they pass over, and that's the end of Elijah. Our brother is not going away in discrepancy, is he? He's not going away on crutches, is he? He's going away just like Moses went. His eye was not dim, neither his natural force abated. He's going away in the full power and the energy of his person and his being. For the law is holy and just and good. The law is not decrepit. The law is not old and ragged. The law has been taken away in all its dignity, in all its authority, in all its righteousness, in all its purity. The law is God's standard of righteousness in the Old Testament scriptures. And so it's taken away amidst a blaze of glory, just as Moses was taken away and God buried him there. And so we are left with Elisha. And Elisha is taking over. And now he comes with the garment, with the cloak of Elijah. But it doesn't say that he wraps it together. Will you notice that? He'll say, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And I believe, brother and sister, instead of wrapping it together, here's the garment spread. And he'll smite the waters with the spread garment of Elijah. And he'll say, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And I tell you, brother and sister, it's one thing to go over Jordan from the living to the dead, but it's another thing to come back from the dead to the living. There's the picture of resurrection, isn't it? There's the picture. The law's been taken away there at Calvary, and the Christ of God is coming back in the resurrection power. Where is the greatest power of God demonstrated? In creation? In ruling and controlling a universe? No, my brothers. According to the exceeding greatness of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. And here's the garment stretched. And here's the full demonstration of God's power, for God is bringing back his son again from the dead, alive forevermore. Will you notice, brother, if the law's power is only in relation to the earth, then the risen Christ of God can say, all power is given unto me, both in heaven and in a double portion of his spirit. So we'll look at it from this point of view, and I'll only be able to give you one or two illustrations. You'll have to look into the others yourself. As I said last evening, I'm just opening the door up in a study for you. And if I can open the door, then it will be your responsibility, and I trust your pleasure to walk in and carry on. Now here then, Elisha is coming back, and he's got a ministry, but it's the ministry that is after he's come back over Jordan. So will you get the thought that here is the ministry of a Christ after he is risen from the dead. That's where his ministry begins, raised from the dead. Now will you notice he's coming to Jericho. Now, Jericho, of course, has been preached about time and time again. I can't go into that. But brother and sister, when you're in the book of Joshua, I've mentioned it once or twice. And when I've mentioned it, I've seen them go back again, you know, Joshua 2, to see whether what I was saying was right. But I'll give you the challenge just the same. I'd like you to tell me what verse it is where it says that cord was a scarlet one. Have you had it? All right now. All right. Perhaps you haven't thought of it before. Maybe you've preached about the scarlet cord before. But I think you'll have to look again now, won't you? It just calls it a cord. And the cord is a twisted thing, a rope. And that's what she gave to the two men to let them down the wall for safety. But when she asked for a token, he says they gave her a scarlet line, and the word is a thread. And after they had gone down the window, he says she put the scarlet line in the window, through which is the word, through which she had let down the two spies. You have a look at it for yourself. Have a look. As a brother once said, you don't only just study the word, you study the words as well. So you'll be careful. You see, the cord was her means of deliverance for them. But the scarlet line was their means of deliverance for her. Now have a look. That's just a little digression. But I reckon you've preached on Jericho many and many a time. The world, isn't it? The world. Well, I'm quite sure that it is a picture of the world. But please, brother, it's the city of palm trees. The city of palm trees. So I'm not surprised about a young Jew in Luke chapter 10 again, if we can quote from the Good Samaritan. He went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. It was the city of palm trees. And I reckon there are quite a lot of Christians that do the same, don't they? Go down from Jerusalem to Jericho. And I reckon a lot of them fall among thieves too, which strip them and wound them and leave them half dead. And they've lost their testimony, many of them. But that beside the point. We won't go into that. But now, here is Jericho, the city of palm trees. And the elders of Jericho come out to Elisha and they say, the city is a pleasant situation. Now notice that. The city is a pleasant situation, but the water is not, and the ground is barren. That's Jericho. Jericho. The situation is pleasant. And brother and sister, if you're going to talk about a world, then the situation of a world is pleasant. I'll tell you where it lies. It lies in the very affections of God, doesn't it? For God so loved the world that he gave. My, that's a pleasant situation. But I tell you this,
The water is still not. There's no life in it. The ground is barren, and it can't give life to it. There's no source of life in it, and there's no part of it that can give life to another. It is completely barren. It is completely dead, even though it lies in the very affections of God. Now that's the situation. Now the risen Christ has got a ministry to a world that lies under the judgment of God, that lies in the very affections of God. Even though death reigns because of sin, the risen Christ has got a ministry. Just like that Elisha that came back over Jordan has got a ministry to Jericho, so has the risen Christ got a ministry to our world.
This is the end of side one. Please turn the tape now for the continuation on side two.